Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the book of John. We've been talking about several things that kind of relate to each other. We've talked about blindness and the ability to see. The awareness of the spirit, darkness and light. Here's a nice verse in John, a couple of nice verses in John, to kind of lead us off here today. And chapter 1, verse 5. Well, let me go back to verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, what that means is darkness has no power over light. The darkness could not change the light. It could not dim the light. It could not alter the light in any manner because the light is supreme in all things. Another verse here in the same chapter, in verse 9, I believe it is. Well, let's just continue. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we're talking about Jesus being that light. Let me just pick up a verse here in Romans 13. We talked about that we are not of the night, that we are not of those that sleep or are drunken in the night, that verse from 1 Thessalonians. Here's kind of a little partner verse here in Romans. We'll get into more things here in a minute, but in Romans 13, in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The one song we were singing this morning is that the end time has come. Amen. So the time to awaken. Amen. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife and envying. What some of these words mean, not in licentiousness or lewdness, amen. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. If you make no provision for the flesh, that means when you get delivered from something, you get rid of every accoutrement that applies to that thing that held you in bondage. Amen. If you got delivered from drugs, get rid of all the drug paraphernalia. If you got delivered from alcohol, get rid of all those things that relate to that. Amen. If you got rid of lust, then maybe you need to get rid of all kinds of phone numbers and contacts and this type of thing. Amen. All right, so that's the word in Romans. And now we're going to be talking about the light a little bit more. We go to Revelation chapter 21. And there's a couple verses that I want to pick up here. Look at verse 22. Amen. And I saw no temple therein. Now we're talking about heaven, aren't we? I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We're going to talk about the glory today. The glory of God. Amen. Let's go on. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Their glory is nothing compared to the glory of God. Amen. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Hallelujah. All right, well, I want to talk about the glory. Brethren, what is the glory of God? Can anybody tell me? Can anybody really define what the glory of God is? I go back to Exodus. Moses apparently wanted to know something about this glory. Moses must have had a hint that there was something greater in God than he had seen up until then. Now, Moses had seen what? Moses partook of the plagues of Egypt. He saw the power of God. Amen. He saw the 10 plagues. He saw the Passover. He saw how the overshadowing of the Lord protected those who were under the blood, and the destroyer did not come near to them. He saw the power of God open up the Red Sea right down to the bottom where it became dry, and men were able to walk through. He saw that, and yet he apparently did not think that he had seen the glory of God yet. Now, wouldn't you say you could be satisfied with what he had seen up until that point? But no. Now let's look here in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, I believe it is. Well, maybe we should go back a little bit to get this all in context. Let's go back to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know, whom wilt thou send with me? Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses was not satisfied with all that he had seen up until this point. Amen. And he said, now this is the Lord speaking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. All right, his presence. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. In other words, we don't want to go on our own. We're not going to be able to do anything. We're going to be a total failure if it's left up to us on our own strength. So if Lord, if you're not going before us, we don't want to go. We'll stay right here. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What will make us different from all the other people is that you go with us, that you're with us. And the Lord said to Moses, this I will do, this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Wouldn't that be nice to hear the Lord say that to you? You found grace, amen, in my sight. I know you by name. Amen. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. All right, there's something else now that Moses wanted. He knew that there was something else about God, something besides the miracles, something besides the acts of power. I don't know how if I were to try to define this word glory, the glory of God, I'm not sure that I could find enough words to define it. So I would just say, Lord, there's something more. Can you show it to me? Well, yes. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord answered and said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What does glory have to do with goodness? Who is good? None of us is good. Amen? Man came to Jesus and said, good master. He said, you call me good. Don't you know that none of you men are good? So goodness has to do with a quality of being. Only God is good. And his goodness, his righteousness, his perfection, therefore has something to do with his glory. All right. I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? Come on, somebody's got some hint. You can help me out here. What's the name of the Lord? What's his character, isn't it? Amen? His holiness. What was the sevenfold spirit of the Lord? Wisdom, righteousness, goodness. Amen? So I'm going to make my name, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now, brethren, the name of the Lord is his nature. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus, it isn't just that men speak certain words, and therefore you've got baptized in the name of Jesus. And if they didn't say the right words when they baptized you, therefore you didn't get baptized properly. No, brethren, the name of Jesus is his nature. In his nature, brethren, we are to be made into his nature. Amen. Not the old Adam nature. Didn't we sing this one song this morning? Cast old Adam down. Amen. All right. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. In other words, I'll give my grace to whomever I'll give it to. Amen. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What's the difference between grace and mercy? You still there, Larry? You're one that usually knows the difference here. Between grace and mercy, what's the difference? You have to unmute yourself.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Larry.
Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. The fullness of his blessings comes by grace. Mercy is not giving us what we truly deserve. That is his wrath and judgment.
Amen. So we don't ever say to God, well, I deserve this. Give me what I deserve. No, we don't say that. Anyway, so the Lord is making these statements to Moses now, that I will show grace, whom I will show grace, I will show mercy. Now, this is in response to Moses' request, show me thy glory. So this is involved in what God is going to do with his glory. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Moses, if I show you my face, you won't be down there in the Sinai Peninsula anymore. You'll be off here in heaven, because that's the only way I can deal with you, by coming straight on to you. You know, brethren, we are so carnal. We are so physical oriented that if the fullness of the Spirit, the spiritual being of the Lord were to hit us straight on, we wouldn't be able to take it. It would annihilate, totally annihilate all flesh that we have. Amen? Now that is going to happen, but not in this manner. Amen? So, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, in other words, like a little cave in the rock. Amen. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So the face of the Lord is going to be shielded by his hand. Amen. And I will take away my hand, that thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So in other words, the afterglow, after he's passed, and as it's receding, then Moses, you can take that. You can handle that. You're probably tired of hearing me tell about the time that I was in my house, and it was Sunday, and we'd come home from having a meeting, and I just said, Lord, I don't believe we're finished yet, and I believe you have more to say. Well, I was aware that the presence of God began to draw near to me, but I was also aware that if he kept coming, he was going to blind me. But it was something that was very powerful that was coming toward me. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy, and I can't do anything about my unworthiness. I can't change who I am, but I still want to hear from you. I still want to see you. And it seemed like he shielded what was coming toward me. And then we were able to hear what the Lord had to say to us that day. All right, so that was Moses. Now, what does this glory have to do with us? We look in Isaiah, and I'm not giving every word here in the Bible that has to do with glory, but I'm picking out a few. Looking in Isaiah, and I believe it's going to be in chapter 60. Chapter 60 in Isaiah. And I'm going to read a few verses here, not just one or two. It says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. We have a song. We have that song, don't we? Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I'm not a very good singer. But anyway, what is this? How is this different now? Remember, Moses went up on the mountain, and he was in the presence of God, And the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments. What happened when Moses came back down the mountain? And what was it, Rita? His face shone, okay? So there was something of the glory of God that was on him, even though the face of God did not hit him square on. I mean, it was too powerful. What the light, the radiation, whatever it was, there was still something that remained with Moses, and he had to cover his face. So we see a progression here. First of all, Moses would have been content to see. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see it with my eyes. I want to behold this thing. I would be content just to see what this is all about. You know, sometimes we'd like to say, Lord, I just like a glimpse of heaven. I just like to really see what that's all about. I would really like to see what it's like for the people there. What did they do? How did they carry out their business in heaven? I would like to see how they relate to you. I would like to see what your throne looks like, Lord. So I would like to behold, but now here's something else. Arise and shine, for the light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. For behold, the darkness, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. All right? Now it's upon us, like it was upon Moses. All right? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, excuse me, are we not? Have we not demonstrated clearly that we are in a time of darkness? Do we not see a gross darkness coming upon the minds of the people, the majority of the people, in fact, that are calling darkness light? They are calling good evil. They're calling evil good. It's a time of such confusion, of gross darkness. So in this time of gross darkness, amen, will cover the earth and the people, but the Lord shall rise where? Not on the horizon somewhere, not from outer space, but the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, I think we've already established that the glory of the Lord is something so powerful that in your flesh, you can't take it straight on. But now Isaiah is saying something here. Something is going to happen that it is going to be seen upon us. Seen upon us, okay? Not only are we going to behold it, but it's going to be seen in us. There'll come a time, brethren, there's coming a time, there is a time, when whatever is of God in us is seen by other people, people of darkness. Now, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to like what they see. What am I trying to think of here? Somewhere they were having one of these pride parades. Oh, I know. I remember what it is. They were having one of these pride parades. You know what I mean by that, don't you? And there was a man that came to this thing, and he began to preach the word of God in the midst of this pride parade. Well, as I recall, they had him arrested because he was creating, they said he was creating a, what was their term? A disturbance among the people. He was creating a disturbance. Well, I got to thinking, now, I don't know whether this man was purposely trying to be obnoxious or what, but I can see this possibility. This kind of glory, this kind of light, if indeed the man was manifesting the glory of God. And brethren, I believe this is going to be the case as this darkness gets greater and greater, and as this deception upon the minds of the people of the world gets stronger and stronger. You know, when we're talking about our present president. When he came into office, it seemed that he was compelled to appoint the top positions to the most to the people with the darkest understanding. In other words, he had to appoint a lesbian to this and a trans to that, and in fact his press secretary is something of that nature. Amen. And the world is giving him such an acclaim. Oh, he's so enlightened. He's so progressive. Isn't he so wonderful that he sees these new things that the old-fashioned conservative people don't understand? People are giving him glory for these kind of things. Well, they're not necessarily the best people to run the government, brethren. In fact, somebody that can be that deceived, that their mind is so twisted like that, I would question whether they can make the right decisions on anything in regards to running the government. Well, so be it. Okay, God bless. So let me go on here. Something of glory is going to rise upon us. In other words, it's going to be seen. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. What does the word Gentiles mean? It means the world, the unredeemed. Amen. Now, practically every one of us, I would imagine, on this Zoom today are Gentiles in the natural realm, but not in the spiritual realm. You know, our nature is that we are so bound in flesh that it is almost impossible in our natural effort to break through that flesh and to comprehend the things of light and the things of spirit. Am I the only one that thinks this way? Am I the only one that has had an issue of trying to break into the spirit, that my flesh just keeps dragging me back and dragging me back? For 2 weeks now, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, I want to comprehend. Give me words that I can describe. What is this thing called glory? How do I define it? I mean, I can see the word, but just seeing that word doesn't tell me what it is. I want to know what it is. I want to experience what it is. Amen? Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Thy rising means we're going to come up through something. We're going to break through somewhere. Amen? Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at that side. Amen. Then thou shalt see and flow together. Oh my. Then thou shalt see. All right. In other words, it implies that you haven't been seeing up until this point. And when you can see, then you can flow together. You know, we don't have to try to create some some togetherness, or what's that word that they call when they want to get all the churches together? Ecumenicism, yeah. We don't have to create some ecumenical movement. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear. Oh my, that's an important ingredient here, isn't it? Thy heart shall fear. Let me see what that says here. Thy heart shall fear. Swell with joy. Amen. And be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted. Brethren, this is spiritual language. We're not talking about the waves out there in the ocean. We're talking about the unredeemed. The sea shall be converted unto thee. And the forces of the, what is this, forces of the Gentiles? The wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. No, wait a minute. I've got the right one. Amen. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. All right, let's move on. We've got another one here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Now you know where we're going. Brother, we could spend a month on Romans chapter 8. It is the favorite chapter of sonship. It really is the favorite chapter, Romans chapter 8. And where do we start here in Romans chapter 8? Probably verse 18, all right? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, sufferings, that's plural, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, there's another step. First, we beheld his glory, all right? Then the glory was seen on us, like a shine on our face. Now the glory, according to Romans here, is seen in us. Now, how can you see something in somebody else? What do you think, Mike? How do you see something in somebody else? I understand how you can see it on them. I can understand how you can behold the glory, but how can I see something in you?
I think it's, you know, you're the way you act, the way you are, who you are, it's a deeper seeing rather than just seeing the features of your physical body. They see your nature and mm-hmm. your love and your care and your all those kinds of things.
You know, I am surprised to find that people won't tell you this, but when you come into a community, it doesn't take long, and the people begin to know who you are. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to say anything to them. But somehow, your reputation goes out of who you are. I think this is what Paul is talking about here. The glory seen in us. Let me give you the example, if you don't mind my telling these old stories, because this is how my mind got opened up to spiritual things. When I was working up in North Creek at the nursing home, Sister Janet, we came up there. We were living down in Balsa Spa at the time, And she said, I want to go up and see the sisters up in Newcomb while you're at the nursing home working. So I got out of the car and she got in the driver's seat and she began to drive the car up the mountain. It was October and the first snow had come along. Amen. There was snow on the road when we got to the top of the Minerva Hill. And a deer ran right out in front of the car, and she tried to avoid the deer, and the front wheels of the car caught the shoulder, and it was soft, and it flipped the car right end over end, just flip like that. About 2 minutes later, some of the brethren from the fellowship up there in Newcomb were coming along. It was Brother Mike and Brother Paul and the minister, the brother up there. Anyway, three good brethren, men of God, came along, and there they saw my car, bottom side up, the engine still running, the wheels still turning. And they stopped, they reached in, they turned off the engine. They managed to pull Sister Janet out of the car. I guess they had an ambulance up there, so they called the ambulance. And the ambulance from up there in Newcomb was the fire department, had an ambulance. So they put her in the ambulance and took her down to Glens Falls to the hospital. Well, it's at least an hour's drive from there
no
down to
Glens. No one is answering. There's no way for me to do anything.
Hello? What was that? Okay, well, let me go on. About an hour's drive down to the hospital. Well, it took almost 2 hours for the state trooper to come and investigate this accident. I'm talking about a remote part of the mountains, really remote. If a trooper couldn't get there for 2 hours. So when the ambulance came back, the gym teacher at the high school was driving the ambulance, and Mike Moses was with him. And they stopped when they saw the trooper car and the car upside down on the road or on the side of the road. And they were talking to the trooper, and he said, "What happened here?" And they said, "Well, she tried to avoid a deer, and this happened." And the trooper said, no, he wanted to give a ticket to somebody. He was anxious to really give a ticket out. He said, no, I smell alcohol here. This woman's been drinking. I'm going to order a test. I'm going to order the hospital to do a blood alcohol test on her and find out how much alcohol she had in her. And the gym teacher. Now, this gym teacher was not part of the fellowship. He was simply, he was a good man, but he was a man of the world, you know, a good old boy. He liked to do what men do, you know, go to the bar, sports, the things that the men of the world do. And the gym teacher looked at that trooper and he said, "Dry, dry, dry." And the trooper said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you go run that test if you want, but that'll be the driest test you ever ran." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This woman doesn't drink. We know about this woman, and we know what kind of people they are. You won't find any alcohol in her blood." So I thought, well, how did this man know that about us? We didn't know him. I had only met him one time, and we had a little talk about some business or something. How do people know who you are? I believe that the glory of God can be seen if people want to see it. But I believe, brethren, that there's coming a time when more than this, more than just knowing this woman doesn't drink, it's a future. It says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, Paul is talking about a future event. I don't think that future event has yet come to pass in its fullness. Maybe a little, but not the full. He says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature." Now, that word creature is the same as creation. Creature, creation, same word here. "For the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." What does manifestation mean? Manifestation means pulling the cover off, exposing. All right, so you say, "Well, Brother Mark, that glory is in us now, but the cover hasn't been pulled off. It's being hidden, somewhat hidden, somewhat showing, but mostly hidden." What is, I'm talking about sonship, brethren. It says to the sons of God. That means sons. That means those who are mature in Christ. Brethren, our job as a Christian is not just to maintain a maintenance level about as low as we can barely get by. Not just maintenance, brethren. It's more than that. It's growing, it's maturing, it's coming to greater glory. You know, when that manifestation comes, brethren, you are going to be glad that you paid the price. Whatever tribulation you have to go through to overcome, it is going to be worth it. Any price that you've had to pay, even if you've suffered, brutally suffered, you're going to say when that glory is manifest, "Oh, I kind of feel sorry for the people that have gone on before, and they didn't get to experience this thing that is coming in these last days when creation is groaning." Creation is groaning, brethren. What do you think all these violent storms are all about? These hurricanes, these tornadoes, these earthquakes, these things that disrupt, these heat waves, these brutal cold atmospheric changes, and the world is saying, "Oh, it's because we're driving cars with certain kind of engines in them, we're making pollution, we're having gas stoves in our house." No, come on. Creation is groaning. That's what this is all about. Every time, I tell you what, I think it's going to get worse. As man gets worse, as this, we call it woke. I don't know what woke stands for, but I understand it's something wicked. As this woke wickedness becomes greater and greater, brethren, creation is going to rise up stronger and stronger and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the light, waiting for the glory to be manifest. Amen. Brethren, when that glory is fully manifest, creation is going to change. Amen. Brethren, I fully believe that the curse is going to be removed, and there's nothing we can do about removing it. It's only by the word of God. The word of God put it there, and the word of God is the only thing that can remove it, brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me just those two verses. Amen. Let me go back to verse 11. Wait a minute now. Romans 13. Oh, okay. No, I've already been there. All right. Revealed in us. Yes, amen. Well, let me go on to a couple of other verses now. I want to go to John. John 17. Now we're talking about the prayer that Jesus prayed, and I'm wondering why he prayed such a prayer. Everybody knows the 17th chapter of John. Now, let me see. I don't know how much of this I want to go through. Let's go through the first five verses to begin with. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now there's that word glory again. Glorify thy Son. He's asking for the Father to glorify him. Amen. As thou hast given him power. That word power is authority. Over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. All right, some of them are going to have eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. All right, if we know the Father, we have eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, here's glory again. We're going to get a definition of glory. I have glorified thee on the earth. How did he glorify the Father on the earth? All right, Rita says by obeying him. You can unmute and tell me what you think here if you want. How did he glorify the Father on the earth?
By showing forth the nature of God.
All right. Everything he did was the nature of God. Every way that he dealt with people. Amen. How he dealt with sinners. How he dealt with rebels. How he dealt with people that hated him and wanted to kill him. Amen. All right. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In other words, he's coming to the end of his business. Amen. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So I want to come back to the glory back when we were creating the earth, back before there was Adam and Eve. There was a glory. Can you not hardly imagine how the glory of God created this universe? Such a power, such a glory. My goodness, I can't comprehend it, brethren. Amen. Now, let me take a couple. Where are we here? We're in John 17. Okay, let's go on down. He's praying. Well, it's hard to overlook that. We've got to go through this, the rest of this chapter. Amen. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. So he's talking about his disciples, the faithful ones, of course. Amen. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them. So here's a prayer That's not just for the world. It's a prayer for the church, the people of God. What we're saying here applies to us. Amen. Which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. All right, that's interesting, isn't it? How is God glorified? In us. In other words, when we take on the glory of God, when we begin to manifest the glory of God, that makes the glory of God greater in the earth. So creation is waiting for this time when the sons of God will come forth, amen, and be manifest. Well, I shouldn't say come forth, because that implies something on our effort. I should say that we will be manifest. And I think the only thing that can pull that cover off would be God himself. We can't get it off. We can't make ourselves glorified more. It's going to be done by him when the time is right. Amen. Probably when darkness comes to the point where it would destroy the whole earth, then God will pull this cover off of us, and it will just shine back on that darkness and destroy the darkness. All right. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He's speaking future almost here, isn't he? He's saying, I'm not in the world. Well, he was here in the natural, in the flesh, but he's saying, I'm spiritually, I'm somewhere else. Amen. But these are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. How about that? That they may be one as we are one. In what manner is Jesus and the Father one? Is there any disagreement between them? No. Can you pray to either Jesus or the Heavenly Father and get the same results? Of course you can. They are one. Now, are we one? Well, let's take an example. Let's say husband and wife. Are you not supposed to be one? You're supposed to be one. Now we have a little child, let's say a little 5 or 6 year old, and he wants something. And he goes to mom, and she says, no, you can't have it. So he goes to dad. And what's dad going to say? Well, he better be in agreement with what mom told him. Yeah. So the first answer is, what did your mother tell you? Well, what your mother told you is what I'm going to tell you. In other words, you're not going to work a division between us. Now, let us of the body of Christ be in this way, that they may be one as you and I are one. You cannot drive a bit of division between Jesus and the Father. There will be absolutely no disagreement between them. They are one, one, one. That's about as one as you can get. Amen. All right. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, which the scripture might be fulfilled. This is Judas. Amen. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You know, brethren, when the word that is in us gets out more and more into this world and becomes more and more manifest, we're going to encounter more and more hatred. And probably we're going to be arrested more and more for hate speech, because the word of God will become hate speech. This is a new law now that they're making. If you speak against some of these things, now you're guilty of hate speech. Well, the world is going to hate us. Amen. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Okay, if you wanna spread your pre-trib rapture doctrine, how does that apply to this? I pray that not that you take them out of the world. He's going to leave us here. Amen. Brethren, when we have the fullness of the glory of God on us, we don't need to be taken out of this world so that he can tribulate the world and so that he can bring 3.5 years of tribulation. He said, I don't pray to take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Well, amen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That includes us. We are the ones who have come to this word because they have believed. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, and art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. When the world sees this kind of unity, brethren, they're going to know. Now here we come to the glory again. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. He said he's given it to them. He's given it to the disciples. He has given it to them who would come to believe because of that word that they would preach. But it hasn't been fully manifested yet. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, if you don't like that word sonship, you're going to have to deal with Romans chapter 8. We met people out in Idaho one time. We started to talk about sonship. They said, oh, we don't like that word. Some people came around here with that word, and we discovered we didn't like it. Well, before we left, they decided they liked that word. Because we went and prayed for somebody that was bound and needed deliverance and needed healing. We prayed for them and they got delivered and they got healed. And then they said, oh, these other people prayed and nothing happened. We couldn't get them healed. Well, God made something manifest to them. What he did is he manifest that the message that we were preaching was a true word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've got some other things to say about glory, but maybe not today. Another day. I think we've come far enough, and I think we'd like to hear what God is saying to you. So I'm going to leave the recording on for a while, and you share what you're seeing here, or whatever. Yeah, I can pause it. Here, let me put the pause button on here. Yeah. Pause. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Brother Mark. Yes, well, like I was saying, praise the Lord. He has been with us. He has been with our family, both spiritually, emotionally, intellectually here. As you know, we had our baby a little over 2 months ago, and he has been given a clean bill of health regardless of the situation that we had prior to his birth. And we praise the Lord for that, because we have been in prayer for him, and I know that you have been praying as well. So we praise him for that, because the prognosis was not good at first. But the Lord is above all. So we are very, very happy. We are very blessed. We have started to have just a small family meetings here. For some reason, we struggle with traditional church ideas. So a lot of the folks, they come and they want to set up a church and they want to elect a pastor. And when I kind of tell them my opinion, they kind of don't like it. But so we have decided to, I had a word come to my mind, and it told me to go back to where we started. And honestly, where we start is right at home. So we have started here. We are inviting our neighbors. They come one by one, but we'll see what the Lord has in place. Pray for Belize, brethren. How should I say this? We are in a very difficult situation spiritually. The churches are dying here, if I can say that. Churches are going empty. The clubs and bars and whatnot are getting full, which is unfortunate. We are praying. I have met with a couple of friends that are pastors and whatnot, and we have decided in upcoming June we will be having series of prayers, a series of fasting, to see what we can do about it. Most of the churches are starting to shut down. People are leaving the churches. The world is really, really pulling them away, and it is disheartening. But I have faith that the Lord will make a move, and when that does happen, there will be an awakening here in Belize, and we are looking forward to that. But Mark, in the time, you are ready to come to Belize and help us here. If you can, we will be waiting for you.
Amen.
Yes, and there's just one thing I would like to say. The struggle, you were saying earlier that we have to go through the struggles, and I have been experiencing that a lot, and I am happy that I went through them. I feel stronger. I feel like I can push through anything. So I am thankful to the Lord for everything that he put on our way and in our lives and everything from a couple of years to now. And I praise him for that. And I believe that that has been a preparation now. I have learned a lot to be patient. I have learned a lot to stay on my knees and just speak to him. And I have learned to listen to him. All of these difficulties have taught me that. And I am happy for that. And I know that everybody here that is here today knows that as well. We know that if we persevere, the Lord will lift us up and he will help us move forward. So I am happy, Brother Mark. I am blessed. I do apologize. I came in late. We had technical issues here. I did get a piece of your message, but I will have to go through the entire thing to get the full understanding, Brother Mark. But other than that, thank you so much, and God bless everybody.
Well, I want to ask if somebody has the word of the Lord to really pray for this situation now in Belize. Amen. I know some of you are really gifted in prayer. You see, the darkness is coming into the churches. People are leaving them because they're not finding any life in light.
Lord, we thank you for the Lee. We thank you for the testimony of
We can hardly hear you. Come a little closer.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, now that's good.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for Brother Lee. We thank you for the testimony of their baby. We thank you for the testimony of their starting a fellowship in their home. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there with them. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that they will not lack bread. You said, give us this day our daily bread, that as they come together, O God, that you will give them daily bread in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you will draw men whose heart you have prepared, oh God. There are men in Berlin whose hearts, Bernice, whose heart you have prepared, oh God, to come to you. You will bring them to Brother Lee's doorstep and they will receive ministry from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We ask for an increase, oh God, in that home fellowship. We ask, oh God, that you will bless them, bless his finances, dear Lord. Oh God, we ask that you open doors, oh God, for him. Lord Jesus, you said that the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you. You know the need in this home, oh God. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will meet their every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask that you bless them and increase them, oh God. Break the power of the spirits that are covering the souls of men and taking them away from you, O Lord. Father, we ask, O God, that as many as you have appointed for salvation, O God, that your spirit will move and touch them and bring them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. We pray for the situation with their network. O God, we pray that each time they want to join, O God, that the network will be to their favor. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, for we have prayed in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we ask that you will lift up your sword against the hovering cherub in Belize, dear Lord. The cherub that says that the name of the Lord will not be mentioned in this land will lift up a lamentation, dear Lord. As we ask that the Spirit said that Simon had cast a covering of sorcery over the land of Samaria. And it says that Jezebel and Athaliah, Lord, that they brought sorcery and they covered the land of Israel. Lord, we pray, oh God, that the covering of sorcery, the covering of wickedness over the land of Belize might be broken, dear Lord. Let the covering be broken, oh God. Yes, we come to say that you smite, Lord God, the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. In the same vein, we smite the principalities, we smite the powers, we smite the rulers of the darkness around Belize, that the captives, Lord God, may be set free, dear Lord. Let the rule and the dominion of the spirit of whoredom, the spirit of lasciviousness, the spirit, Lord God, of wickedness, let their hold over the souls of men be broken in the name Yahushua. Amen. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will quicken your seed, oh God, quicken your elect, dear Lord, in Belize. Lord, a seed has been sown there, oh God. Seeds have been sown. There are seeds that have been sown. We are asking that, Lord, you will send water, oh God. You will bring a refreshing that the seed, oh God, will begin to take, will begin to manifest, oh God, that the roots, Lord, that have been going deep and deep will begin to bring forth fruit on the outside in the name of the Lord. We pray that, Lord, men in Belize will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You will grant them a boldness, oh God. Hallelujah. It was there was a time, he said, in the fight, in the battle against AI, it was that it looked as though the people were being overcome and they began to recede. But there were less in weight that rose up and put the city of AI on fire. We ask, we believe that there are lies in wait that you have kept in secret, oh God, to rise up, Lord God, and to set in judgment, set ablaze, Lord God, all the things that stand against you in Belize. We prophesy over them that have been, Lord, that you have set forth as liars in wait, oh God. Those 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to bow, we're asking that you will raise them up at this time, oh God, and you will cause victory, oh God, to come, oh God, over the spirits of wickedness in the land of Belize. Bless Brother Lee again, dear Lord, and cause him to continue to stand. You are speaking about the glory of the Lord. We're asking that glory, oh God, we show forth in him. Hallelujah. We just bless you, our Father. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Hearts of all the earth, for thy possession, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give unto thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of all the earth for thy possession.
Amen. Amen.
I was going to just say a couple quick things. One of them was about last week. We talked about not missing your day of visitation. And I was talking about how God knows just exactly what you need. And he'll come to you and make sure that you don't bypass that time. And Brother Mark made the comment that he said, well, God keeps coming to me. I guess I'm lucky. And so I wanted to make sure nobody thought I was saying that God only comes to you one time, and if you missed him, you miss him. That's not what I was saying. I believe that as long as we're in the land of the living, God is going to pursue you to your last breath. And I think he sort of revealed what he thought about that when some brethren one time said to him, not brethren, it was probably the Pharisees and whatnot, they said to him, how many times should we forgive our brother? 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. So do you think Jesus was saying you should forgive somebody 490 times? That's not what he was saying. He was saying you just keep forgiving them. Yeah. And so just so nobody thinks I was saying, you know, God won't come to you more than one time if you miss him. And then the other thing was, a few weeks ago, I shared, God gave me that little picture about the sower, the farmer walking through the field with his gunny sack over his side, and he's casting the seed into the ground, you know. And God kind of brought that picture to me about tithing. And the fact that, why does that farmer go out there and sow that seed? Because he expects there's going to be a harvest, you know. And so I had one more thought on that just the other day. And that was, when he's out there sowing that seed, do you think there's any doubt in his mind that something's going to grow, I mean, he believes it. He's going to put that seed in the ground and something's going to grow. And so, you know, the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to believe. As we tithe and as we give, we need to believe that it's going to bring forth something. And, you know, I think it's a known thing. It says, you know, we shouldn't tempt or test God. And yet God says, test me in this. You give and you see that I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to contain. So anyway, I think that's the attitude we should have as we give. We should really believe that this is going to bring forth something. God's going to bless us, and it can be in lots of different ways.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you.